All right. So proud of those guys. They have really stepped up, I tell you, this last year, and they continue to do so. So excited. Yeah. Well, I'm going to talk about another aspect of the heart today. And if you look out in the lobby and you lift your head up a little bit, right above these doors, there's a beautiful picture, and it says, Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Let's just ask the Lord to bring his word alive today, okay? Lord, we just want to ask you to do just that. Bring your word alive. And so, Lord, as we look into some different characters in the Bible today, Lord, we just want to ask that you speak what you need to speak today in our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Okay, so I have spoken so far on what to do with a heart of stone. Remember, I had the stone and the clay, that kind of thing. And then how can you mend a broken heart? And this week, I want to talk about a different aspect of the heart, a type of heart that only God can give you, and it's what he can make your heart become. And this is a courageous heart, the courageous heart. So haven't you always wanted to be a person of courage, that when the chips are down, you rise to the top? You're that guy, you're that gal. Chips are down, you rise. When all about you are losing their head, you are keeping yours, wisdom, strength, and confidence. And I want to tell you something today. You, yes, you, can be a person with a courageous heart. Every single person within the sound of my voice. I remember back in 2008 in our own Jake Carr. I don't know if Jake's here today, but he saved his neighbor from a burning house, if any of you remember this. I read the article this week, and what Jake did was amazing. The man's ammunition, I guess he sold ammunition, was firing off. There was explosions. Jake calls 911, then crawls into the house, I guess, and drags this gentleman out to safety. Now, that's a courageous heart. I don't know if I'd be able to do that or not. I don't know. My back could probably go out, for one thing. But yeah, he saved the guy's life, and that is courageous. Now, most of us won't have the opportunity to save a man from a burning house. Maybe, but probably not. But there are many ways to have a heart of courage, a heart that only God can give. And when God gives us a courageous heart, it always has to do with people. Remember that. Whenever you're listening to the voice of the Lord, remember, he's always about people, okay? And seeing people come to know him in a deeper way. And I want to present three biblical characters to you today. Each one has a different story. Each one has a different courageous heart. They show it in different ways. Some are spectacular. Some really behind the scenes. And so we're going to take a look first at a real hero that many of us know, and his name is Joshua. And he had a heart of courageous obedience. All right, so I'm going to read quite a bit from the Word today. It's all story, so, you know, just kind of pretend like you're in a library and I'm reading you the story. And so here we go, Joshua 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. And let's jump to verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. And now what God tells Joshua next is really crucial and something that we can repeatedly go back to, each one of us. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. All right, so Joshua was being asked to take over for Moses. Now, that is a daunting task. He's taking over for the man who led the children of Israel out of Egypt with all the plagues, going before Pharaoh through the Red Sea, water from the rock. He received the Ten Commandments. He had victories in battle. Tough act to follow. But we find something here that relates to us directly. So what did the Lord say was the way to success for Joshua? He said to meditate on the book of the law. And for us today, it's the word of God, meditating on the word of God. The word here says day and night. That'd be great if you did it day and night, but even just a little every day would be great. Being careful to follow it. And after that, God repeats, be strong and courageous. And if you know much of this scripture, this is repeated many times because Joshua is going to need to be strong and courageous. And so the Israelites had to cross the Jordan River at flood stage. This was the first thing that Joshua was in charge of. And that test took a lot of faith and courage because, it was at flood stage, so all of Israel had to cross. And as we know, without going through the scripture, Joshua passed with flying colors. He did exactly what the Lord asked him to do. He had the priests go out first with the ark. And when they first set foot in the waters, then the waters began to recede from a ways down the river. And then it was dry for the people to cross. But the next test for Joshua is even more spectacular, and this is what we're going to jump into today. This is the fall of Jericho. Now, Jericho was shut up inside Joshua 6, verse 1. Inside and outside, because of the people of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, with its king and its mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus you shall do for 6 days, 7 priests of ram's horns before the ark. On the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout. The wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, everyone straight before him. So Joshua did just as the Lord said, and I'm just going to say that this could not have been easy from Joshua's perspective. You know, it wasn't like God telling Joshua, all right, Joshua, take all of your men of war, attack, and I will make sure that every arrow, every spear hits the mark, and you will overwhelm the enemy. I mean, this is what Joshua knew, right? You know, that's not what he said. That's not what he said. Matter of fact, it was like, okay, Josh, come here. This is what you're going to do. I want you to get all your tough guys, and I want you to go around Jericho, just walk around, and when you get done, have a bunch of guys, a bunch of the priests, just blow the horns. And I want you to do that 6 days in a row. 6 days in a row, just walk around. And then on the last day, on the seventh day, I want you to do it again. I want you to take those tough guys and go around 7 times. 7 times. And then on the last time, you're going to blow those horns. And then I want everybody to shout the top of their lungs. And I'm sure I just said, yeah, then what? That's it. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. And then I'll do the rest. You just got to go in. You mean that's... Everybody shouts and the walls fall down? Yeah. So this is what Joshua has to tell everybody. All these thousands and thousands of people. I mean, it all sounds good now. I mean, we know what happened, right? So what if the walls didn't fall down? Don't you think Joshua ever thought about that? I mean, I don't know how much doubt that he had, but it's clear he did just as the Lord told him to do. And that took a heart of courage. If it didn't turn out the way that he thought the Lord said, then the defeat was going to be on his head. And I doubt if he would have been that successor to Moses for very long. So they walked around Jericho one time each day for 6 days. In verse 15, it says, on the seventh day, they rose early at the dawn of day. And they marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city 7 times. And at the 7th time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city, and the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Then we're going to skip down to verse 20 and it says, so the people shouted and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. Now, I don't know, falls down flat. I've read different things over the years, actually, about this. However it happened, when it says each man, it said each man, every man straight before him, straight before him. So it's not like they had to like scramble around, climbing over stuff. They were able to go straight in. So I don't know if angels got out there and pushed those walls into the ground, fell down flat, just flat, so they wouldn't have to have to climb over a bunch of stuff. However it happened, they were able to go straight in. And Joshua had a courageous heart, and it was tested for all to see. Okay? And now the people knew they could trust him to be the servant of God to replace Moses. It took meditating on God's word and obedience to what God asked him to do. And for us, we are asked to be in God's word and to obey what the Lord asks us, just like Joshua did. He was on a huge stage, okay? Huge stage. We may not get asked to lead thousands of people to shout and watch a wall come down, but he will ask you to do things that, you know, tear walls down in people's lives. That's for sure. There's spiritual blindness in the lives of people. And God will ask you at different times to bring people to Jesus. All right, so there's a few lessons from Joshua. To have a courageous heart, these are some obvious things that we all know, is to pray, to meditate on God's word, hear his voice, and obey. Okay? Really basic stuff, really simple. And we're asked to do the same thing. You know, and that sounds great. But what if things aren't turning out the way that you had hoped? You know, Joshua did these things, took big risks, doing what God asked him to do. It kind of sounded silly, but the walls came down just like God said. But what if they don't? Let's look at somebody else who did as the Lord asked him to do, and he found himself in big trouble. And this is Daniel, okay? Daniel, he had a heart of courageous faith and wisdom. And the story of Daniel in the lion's den, recorded in Daniel 6, is one of the obviously most beloved in all of Scripture. So briefly, I'm going to just tell the story. The story involves Daniel. He was a prophet of God. He was a man in high standing in a secular society. And he was in high standing because he interpreted king's dreams. He had great wisdom from God. He defies King Darius's decree that the people should pray only to the Persian king for 30 days. Imagine if that was in our country, and we were told this by our president, you have to, I'm just imagining this, you have to only pray to a certain god, a certain deity for 30 days, and if you don't, well, bad things are going to happen to you. And Daniel was otherwise, as we know, a law-abiding man, and he continued to pray to Israel's God as he had always done. Now, King Darius was about to put Daniel in charge of the entire kingdom, the whole thing. Well, all these other leaders that were put in place, they were supposed to be wise. They didn't like it. They got jealous of Daniel. And so they instigated this scheme. They got the king to have this decree in order to entrap Daniel, that everyone had to pray only to the king. So King Darius is greatly distressed about having to punish Daniel because he likes him, and he's going to put him in charge, but he gets trapped into doing this whole thing. And in Daniel 6:16, the king says, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." So Daniel is doing everything that we talked about with Joshua. He's praying. He's talking to God. He's doing all the things that he should do. But he's being set up to die. And he gets thrown into the lion's den. I mean, Daniel could have been like, "Hey, wait a second. I did everything you asked of me, God. And now I'm getting thrown into a den of hungry lions. You know, this is, I didn't think this is the way this was supposed to work." I don't know if he had doubts. He was human. So was Joshua. They were human just like us. And just because you have some doubt, just because you have some fear, that's kind of the process in faith sometimes, especially if it's pretty daunting. That's not a sin, but what are you going to do with that? All right, so Daniel 6:19 through 23, "At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. And when he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?' And Daniel answered, 'May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight.'" Now, I kind of love what Daniel adds here. "Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty," as if to say, "I never did anything wrong in the first place." But the king was overjoyed, gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. So there are many things to learn from Daniel's life. But one of the main things we find is a life and a heart that's filled with courage. He was faced with a gruesome death for praying to God, and he does not back down. He worships his God and trusts in God to deliver him. And in the end, over actually many experiences, if you haven't read the book of Daniel in a while, it's a great read. God's name was made great because of the courageous heart of Daniel. He made God's name great. And you think, well, how do you know this? Well, in Daniel chapter 6, King Darius wrote to all the nations, it says, and peoples of every language in all the earth, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. He is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now, Daniel prospered, but he didn't prosper without having to go through incredible challenges to his faith and his commitment to God. He had a courageous heart. So we have two people. Joshua, in front of hundreds of thousands of people, had to have great faith and trust that what God was doing was going to work. And he did it. He did it, and God did an amazing thing. And we have Daniel, who secretly, he thought, was praying to God. But then he was outed by these other guys and as we know, thrown into the lion's den. So the third person is a woman. Third person of courage. And we don't even know this woman's name. We only know her as the woman at the well. A heart of courage to overcome shame. So we pick up the story where Jesus and his disciples are on a journey from Judea, which is in the south, to Galilee, which is in the north. And in between there, you have Samaria. And that was the most direct route, was through Samaria. Now, 700 years before, when Israel was defeated by the Assyrians deported a whole bunch of Israelis and shipped them out, and then they brought in a bunch of foreigners. And so what you have here are a bunch of foreigners that intermarry with Israelites. Then you get these pagan practices that are mixed with Jewish practices. And as the Jews looked at it, they were, it's a terrible term, but it was sort of half-breeds. And so the Jews did not like these people, okay? And so in John chapter 4, verse 7 is where we're going to pick it up. And it says, a woman from Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. So I'll stop there for a moment and just say, Jesus is by himself. He sends the disciples away. He's aware that he is about to do something special by the Spirit through him. And it says, verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. So there's some evidence that women did not come to fetch water at the hottest hours. That would only make sense in a very hot, dry land. They would wait till it was cooler. She comes, this says, in the middle of the day, about the noon hour. Okay, so it's hot. And sounds like she's by herself. And this could indicate that she was a social outcast and didn't want to be there when other women were going to be at the well. So this woman is not only a Samaritan who Jews don't have dealings with, but she could feel ashamed in that she was a social outcast. Also, she probably didn't want to deal with what the other women of the city would say to her and the way they would treat her. You know how some people can, and this is, I can't stand this in life, and this is how Christianity oftentimes gets a bad name. It's when people become judgmental, when they have high moral standards for other people, and they begin to slam all these people and treat people badly. I just can't stand that. And I think that we're to love people. And verse 10 says this, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? See, it's all kind of surfacey for her. You know, he doesn't have anything to get water out with. What's he talking about? And he says, are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well, drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. And Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. I love this. She's already making a little turn here. She all of a sudden she says, okay, I don't know what you're talking about, but give me this water so I won't have to come out in the heat of the day and travel out here and get this water. What are you talking about? So she kind of wants to believe what he's saying, but she doesn't know what he's talking about. And Jesus said to her, I love this, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying you have no husband. For you have had five husbands. You know, even in today's world, five husbands is a lot. And the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. In the word, we're going to skip down to verse 25. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. I love that as well. She knows about the Messiah and that he's going to tell all these things. And Jesus has just told her, read her mail, basically. This is your life. This is who you are. I've never met you before, but this is what you've done. Then his disciples come back, and they marvel that he's talking with a woman. But no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar. See, she leaves her water jar. She doesn't even get the water. She's so excited. Okay. And she went away into town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? And then verse 39, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So this woman had many challenges, many reasons to be afraid to share what she had found in Jesus. She didn't understand hardly anything. She was a woman who, just being a woman, meant in most cases not getting as much respect as a man. I mean, that was their culture, for sure. She was a Samaritan. Knowing that she would probably be looked down on by Jesus, she's shocked by what Jesus says. And then sharing with other Samaritans, they also felt looked down on by the Jews. Okay? So why would they listen to her? She didn't have respect. She's uneducated. She's socially despised, immoral. She didn't have respect in her own community. Yet she believed Jesus at his word and went back to the city and caused a great stir among the people. Where did the courage come from to share about Jesus? I heard something this week that I thought was fantastic. It was something that came up. There was a preacher named Alistair Begg. Some of you probably are familiar with him. He was telling this story, and the story was about the thieves on the cross. And he's basically saying that the thief, one of the thieves came to, are we all right there? One of the thieves came to, I'm going to switch, okay? All right, are we good? Okay. One of the thieves came to heaven, and he gets to the gates of heaven, and he's greeted, and they say, what are you doing here? And he says, well, that guy in the middle told me to come. And they said, well, are you baptized? No. You know, are you, do you know anything about justification by faith? He goes, no, I don't know what that is. And they said, well, have you attended any Bible studies or any kind of discipleship? He goes, no, I don't know what you're talking about. He goes, all I know is that guy in the middle told me to come. I love that because the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And that thief on the cross had the Son. And it was as simple as that. As simple as that. And this woman had the Son, Jesus Christ. Where did the courage come from to share about Jesus? Because a courageous heart for God's purposes has courage for one reason. It's because God has made it so. And this individual has decided to allow God to use her despite all costs. And by her testimony, she caused many people to be saved. Did she have education? No. Did she have respect? No. Did she know people would believe her? No. She had one thing. She met Jesus and she believed what he said. And she didn't keep it in. She wanted others to know him. She had hope and wanted others to know that hope. And that's a courageous heart. You know hope, and you're going to share it with somebody because it's going to help them. You have
the answer to hope in this world. She didn't do it in front of thousands of people, like Joshua. She didn't take on lions, like Daniel. But she simply shared Christ with others who needed hope, and caring enough to share that hope, even to those who might reject her. So there's many things that will happen when God gives us a courageous heart. I think that's something we all want. And the first thing is that when we have that courageous heart, we're going to do what God says, even when it means something new. And it usually does. When God speaks something to you, it's usually a bit of a challenge. Okay? And, you know, just like walking around the city of Jericho and shouting at something new. That's what God does. But he will have us do new things. Maybe something uncomfortable. Second thing is that fear will not overtake us. When we have a courageous heart, fear will not overtake us. All three had to overcome fear. Daniel in the lion's den. Joshua trusting in God's direction to overcome Jericho. The woman at the well overcoming fear and shame to give others the hope of Christ. In Hebrews, it says this, chapter 13, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. We say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The third thing, when we have a courageous heart, it will cause us to stand fast when troubles come. Daniel stood fast in serving God. He didn't panic, but he continued to serve the Lord. And friends, I don't know how this world's going to turn out. But there may be a day when you're going to have to stand fast for your faith. Okay? There may be a day. The fourth thing is we will share Christ even amidst opposition. And that's what the woman at the well did. All she knew was she met this guy who struck her as possibly the Messiah. He cared for her, cared about her, and she ran and told everybody she could. The fifth thing is we will make a difference in the lives of others. Did Joshua make a difference? I mean, we're still talking about him thousands of years later for his courage, his faithfulness, leading the children of Israel. Did Daniel make a difference? His faith, wisdom, prophetic visions are legendary, recorded in the Bible. And he was so influential that he was made to be ruler over all those wise men and third highest in the land. Did the woman at the well make a difference? Obviously, she did. She brought many people to Christ and is a shining example through the ages of obeying and believing in God despite past sin and shame. If I can have the worship team come up, that'd be fantastic. So what's keeping you from having a courageous heart? Sin, shame, guilt, there's a lot of things. You don't feel you're good enough, strong enough, wise enough. Has fear got a hold of your heart? Well, all that can change. How quick? Like that. It can change like that. Because all it takes is an encounter with Jesus, and he will handle the rest. I want to go back to our beginning scripture, Ezekiel 36:26, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. That's that where that courage comes from, that courage in your life. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. It's a heart of courage, a heart that obeys God, a heart of trust, a heart that listens, a heart that loves others enough to give them hope through Christ. You know, I think of that family that we prayed for earlier in that little baby boy, Hudson. Now that's a family that is having to have courage and not give up. And I hope that we have those courageous hearts with them and believe God and pour out our hearts before God and continue to seek him for this little guy and continue to pray for that family. It's a heart that trusts. It's a heart that listens. It's a heart that loves others enough to give them hope through Christ. Let me ask you something. You were probably challenged to have a courageous heart through COVID. In different ways, this divided our country. It caused stress, caused loss of life for some, loss of loved ones, fear, maybe even you were afraid. A lot of uncertainty. All of us had that. We didn't know what was going to happen from day to day. And if you feel you struggled with courage at different points during the pandemic, I just want you to know that God can give you a heart of courage. He can do that for you. He can do it. And we don't know what's coming next. It could be a great season of success. You know, people are always saying doomsday things all the time. But more times of uncertainty. Who knows? And as you know, we're living in a crazy world where we're being told that right is wrong and wrong is right. Stay in your word, guys. Stay in the word. Don't listen to what the world is telling you, because they're going to make what has always been right wrong. And what is right, what you know is wrong, they're going to make it sound so good and right. We can't be deceived in these days. We must have a heart of courage. We all must know what the Word of God says and be able to hear His voice so we can face our future. Whatever comes out of those gates, like in Gladiator, whatever comes out of those gates, you don't know what. And sometimes it's not going to be good. With a heart of courage and a heart of wisdom, you're going to overcome. And you're going to make a difference in the lives of other people. And Bethel Church is going to be a place of courage, a place of wisdom, and a place that shares Christ, because you have the hope of the world. Amen. Let's all stand up. I love the word. It's awesome. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we are all different people, that's for sure. Everybody's different, has their own experiences. For some, they have a pretty good heart of courage. Of course, we always want more. We want to be stronger. We want to be wiser. But Lord, there are some people who are insecure and maybe don't have that heart of courage. But Lord, you are the one where that makes our heart become courageous. You're the one that does it. We can't do it on our own. And so, Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name, give us a heart of courage. Give us that heart of courage. Lord, you say you don't have because you don't ask. Well, we're asking a heart of courage. Why? Not so that I can puff myself up, but that I can make a difference in this world. Just like the woman at the well, just like Daniel, just like Joshua, that we can be people with a heart of courage, Lord. We love you. We trust you today. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. You can look back up here at me. And I just want you, if you need to talk to somebody today, you could talk to anybody from the worship team. That I have full confidence in every single person on this platform. You can talk to someone back there at the New to Faith station. If you have questions, we have some materials for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never met him, all of this sounds pretty good, but you've never made that decision, go back there. They'd love to talk to you back there, and they've got some materials for you. Amen. So we're going to sing one more song this morning, and let's continue to pray for that little baby, Hudson.